down, please. So we've got this wonderful passage about the armour of God, and I thought we've just got to do something visual for this. So I couldn't quite get my hands on a suit of armour, but I've got something fairly good. I've brought the suit of armour that the modern foundry man will wear. Well, actually, you can buy it in women's sizes as well these days. So I'll just bring this over, if you give me a moment. So, let's see what we've got. I'll come to them later. So the first thing is the belt. You remember the belt of truth, which is attached to the trousers, of no particular significance. But So let's try this. It's not that easy to get all this lot on. But we'll see how it goes. No, we don't do that. No. I am actually supposed to wear woolen long johns underneath these, but as you can imagine, it can get quite warm. The woolen long johns are actually to keep the foundry man cool, not warm, because the wool insulation does the job. You see, you don't want to be wearing any plastic. Because it might burn. So these are always very difficult. But there we are, we have the belt of truth. So why is truth a belt? Well, if your belt isn't fastened, what can happen is that your trousers fall down. And that's of great significance, really, because what is Paul saying? He says that when we go out to fight for God, we first must have everything held together by truth. Because if we're detected in a lie, that really undermines the work of the gospel, doesn't it? And it's been surprising to me recently, as I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Yes, here we are. This is what we wear. Now, this is not just a jacket. This has a metal liner inside, so it's proof against metal splashes. But when we go out to serve God, sorry, this might cause difficulty with the microphone, but see how we go. So if we are not wearing the breastplate of righteousness, again, we can be attacked. And it's important that when we go out to serve God, that anything in the past that's been a problem has been dealt with. And it has really been something I've noticed over the last 2 or 3 weeks, that any time a politician comes up to the point where they might be elected, it's amazing how much dirt is brought out of the past, isn't it? Have you noticed that? It's been quite something these last few weeks. And I won't go through it all. I'm sure you know the sort of thing I'm talking about. It seems to apply to virtually everybody. None of the politicians seems to be exempt. Except, I have to say, Theresa May's done very well. They've not found anything out about her, but they're still getting rid of her. It doesn't seem right, does it? But anyway, it's the same when we go out to serve God. If there's something that means that we have been detected in a lie, or we can't be seen to be righteous, then that's a huge problem. And then all the dirt that's thrown at us might stick, mightn't it? But we can come to Jesus for righteousness. He gives us this wonderful breastplate of righteousness, which protects us from all the stuff that might be thrown at us. I'm sure if I zip this up, it'll give me some problems with the microphone. But you do have to have this fastened quite tightly when you go into a foundry, because there's an awful lot of molten metal flying around. So what else do we need? Well, the next thing is the shoes of readiness, and these are special foundry shoes, and these are quick release because if you've been stood in a puddle of molten steel, you'll generally want to get your shoes off pretty quick afterwards. And so these have got, again, a liner inside the sole that means molten metal can't get through. The rubber and stuff on the bottom will burn up in flames, but that doesn't matter. Now, these are quick release, but the trouble is that they're very difficult to get on. They're very easy to get off, and so it is very difficult. But you have to be ready to be wearing the right sort of shoes, because if you go in anything else, you will find that your shoes set on fire. I have had that experience of my shoes being on fire, and it's not so good. So there I am in my shoes. So I've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. What else do we need? Well, the shield of faith. We don't actually have a shield, but we have some jolly big gloves. And there's always a tendency when you're confronted with molten metal to put your hands in front of your face, isn't there? So these act as a shield. And you want the best gloves you can get, because you're going to be holding something extremely hot. So there we are. We've got the shield. You can't do much when you're wearing those, so we'll take them off for the minute. And then there's the helmet of salvation. Go and get that. Here we are again, a special helmet, can't have plastic. They have fiberglass helmet. So there we are, the helmet of salvation. And why is salvation a helmet? Well, it protects the head, and therefore that's the bit we're concerned about, isn't it? And we need salvation, because otherwise we just won't be involved in it at all. If we're not already before Jesus and we've accepted him into our lives, then how can we serve him? He's not going to call on us at all. And we have this natty bronze visor, which makes it all go dark, but it's handy for looking at molten metal, because you can't look at the molten metal without pain. It's so hot. And therefore, we have the bronze visor. Not only stops the stuff hitting the foundry man in the face, but also means that he can see. So the helmet of salvation is probably the most important part of the equipment. It protects our head. And salvation protects everything in us, doesn't it? It protects the way of our lives. And it, most of all, means that we can actually have a relationship with Jesus. We can actually know him and serve him. And we can go out and do his work. And we also know that then, because of the salvation, we have forgiveness. And we can have righteousness. Without salvation, we can't have the breastplate of righteousness, because it's only through confessing our sins and dealing with them that we can be counted righteous. So we need all of this armour, don't we? But even with all this lot, and with the gloves, which are like the shield against the flaming darts, and I can tell you, you do get flaming darts that come and hit you constantly. So we need all this equipment so we can stand. That's what Paul said, so that we can stand. But why are we there? We don't want to just stand, do we? We have to do something while we're there. The foundry man never puts all this lot on, I can tell you, until the moment it's needed, because it's most uncomfortable on a hot day to then stand over a furnace at 1600 Celsius. You get jolly warm wearing this lot, so they don't put it on until it's time for action. So what sort of action? Well, the foundry man, of course, is going to cast something, so he's going to need a weapon. Now, what the foundry man has, and you may not have come across this, and this isn't it, because what the foundry man has is a slag bar, but nobody takes a slag bar home, and it's a bit difficult to bring anyway, solid steel bar. But it looks just like this hoe, so you have to pretend that this is my slag bar. Of course, it's going to be made of steel. What the foundry man does is he has slag on the surface of the metal before he casts it. And of course, you don't want the slag in the casting, so you have to get rid of that. So what he has is he has this steel bar, and he will shove that into the slag, spin it round, and then haul out the slag and beat it on the floor, and then carry on doing this getting rid of the slag and throwing it on the floor until the surface of the metal is clean. And that reminds me a bit of what Paul says about the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit for? Well, you saw that the angel in the story of Balaam and his donkey had a sword, a spiritual sword, and this signifies power, doesn't it? The angel sometimes waves the sword, but in that story, the angel just holds the sword. We don't see the angels in getting too involved in duels and that sort of thing. The sword is a symbol of power, and the word of God has power. And so just like the foundry man clears up the molten metal to get rid of the slag, so when we have the word of God, we can use that to show what's really going on. We can look in the Bible and find advice on all situations, and we can find how to seek the truth, and we can find what the truth is. Just like the foundry man cleans up the metal, the word of God is there to clean up our lives and the lives of those around us. So just as the foundry man goes into the battle with his slag bar, we are to go into battle with the word of God. Not to use it to hit people. That's not what it's for. It's not there to make people feel bad. It's there to show what the truth is. And so as we go into battle, this is what we must have. We must have the belt of truth. We must have the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, which is the gloves there, and I'm sure there's something, oh, the shoes. Readiness, yes. You have to be ready. Your feet have to be ready for whatever's going to happen to get you into the right place. I can tell you, when you get steel all over the floor, those feet move pretty quick out of the way. So this is the armour. But it's not just as simple as that. I must take this off. Armour is all right when you're wearing it, but just like now, I've taken some of it off. And it's so easy for us to leave some of it off, isn't it? You often go out to industrial workplaces and people have all the equipment, but it's chucked in the corner because they can't be bothered wearing it, especially breathing equipment. It's most annoying. Are we going into battle without some of our armour? Have we left the breastplate of righteousness or the shoes of readiness behind in the cupboard when we went out so that our feet are not very ready or we're not feeling very righteous? We're conscious of guilt. Is that how we're going out? In which case, Paul, in this writing to Ephesians, is telling us, no, you need the full kit. And perhaps there is a chink in your armour. One of the people at work, he had a problem, which was very serious. Although this looks like pretty good protection, there was a small chink at the back of the neck. And unfortunately, he got some molten metal down the back of his neck, even though he was wearing all this lot. And so that was quite serious. It wasn't very much. It was only, I don't know, 200 or 300 grams of molten metal, but he had to go away for skin grafts and hospital treatment. And it was months before he was back in action. So we can have a chink in our armour. It can be a little thing that holds us back, can't it? Something that we don't want to do, something from the past that's coming back to us, something or somebody that we have a feud or an argument with. There can be all sorts of things, can't there? So is there a chink in your spiritual armour? Are you wearing all of this stuff? And is it all fastened up properly? And lastly, Paul says, why are we wearing it? We're going to go into action. So the soldier, just like the foundry man, only puts his kit on when he's going to go into battle. And what is our battle? Well, we have to pray and fight against the spiritual powers. Paul says at the end of this passage, you'll notice twice about praying. And then he goes on to say that we should pray for him. But the battle is praying, and we can only pray when we've got all this lot on. So it might seem an encumbrance sometimes, a chore to have to put all this stuff on, but that's what Paul is saying we need before we go into battle to serve the Lord. So there we are. I hope you'll remember the armour, and maybe why I said it, but you never know. Okay, Dave. So excuse me while I take this lot off.